Comments? Anyone? Tonight's, again, these sessions are a little short. I think it's only like 9 minutes long. I think the next one's about the same. And it's by Dave as well. Anyone have any thoughts?
The only comment I really had was kind of slightly off the topic. When it says all people are good, or most people are good, I would say most people want to be good. That's just a simple clear point. You expect most people, and I would agree with everything you said. I mean, you ask somebody for help, there's very few people who are just going to keep walking. Because people want to help. They want to be good. They want to do the right thing. And, but at the same time, you have to be careful, like you said, with the kind of help that you have to be careful who you ask for help from. And you, for instance, in real estate, there's a certain local that you would not want as a mentor. I can't even think of his name, not that I would say it anyway. We pretty much all know who that is. It's just, he's not the guy that you want to train you in.
Well, he doesn't have a real estate license anymore, so it really doesn't matter.
Yeah,
it's
just, there are a lot of guys out there that would like to help. And at the same time, you have to make sure that you are ready to be mentored and do. One of the things I was telling Paula was, I think the last time we talked about mentoring in a law office when you're going to law school. In the first year, I mean, if you're doing that, you have to be ready to do anything that is asked of you. And that includes setting out the trash and putting in the toilet. That's what they ask you to do. There is no job that is beneath you, and that includes when you're the president of the company. If the job needs to be done and you're the one who's there, then go do the job. The idea that, like you said, that the world owes you something. There's an old adage that says most people stop looking for work as soon as they find a job. Meaning, I've got a job, I've got a steady paycheck, I'm not looking around to see anything that needs to be done as far as my job is concerned. I'm just ready to sit here and collect this paycheck. You have to be, was it in the book? Something that I read, it may have been in here. A couple of guys that set up an experiment in a school cafeteria, put some trash on the floor to see who would pick it up. And all of the students walked around it. As soon as the dean walked in the room, he picked it up. And the comment was, one of the guys said, well, you know, he just picked it up because he's the dean. And the other kid said, no, actually, he's the dean because he's not above picking up trash off the floor.
Yeah, Ken Hovind has the same illustration. Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it's very similar to, it's not exactly the same illustration, but it's exactly the same in the principle that's being taught, is men who pick things up usually that see a job, a task that needs to be done and do it without being told are the same ones who are going to rise in leadership to be the deans, presidents of companies, owners of large whatever it may be, because they were willing to do the small task without being told. And so if we're not willing to do those things, then that's, and again, that's Dave's article. I wish I had thought about it sooner. As I was telling you all about it, I wish I had thought about it sooner. I would have printed it all off for you. I don't know if we can find it that fast. Nobody owes you a job. It's a great article. And it goes along that line of we have to be diligent about realizing we're not above any task, and we should be about every task with diligence, because it's only training our character that takes us to the next level. And I gave the illustration either the last time or the time before, where I've done so many different kinds of jobs And I never once felt like I was lowering my standard to do them. Whether it was collecting garbage at college, scrubbing the toilets, mopping the floors, installing carpet, you name it, I've done all those things, and I never once thought of any of those as belittling positions. I just always saw them as opportunities to learn something, to be with somebody. Sometimes I did some jobs just to be with somebody else to learn from them. And that's one of the things that he is getting at here is, what does it mean to be a mentor and a mentee? Is you have to be finding somebody who's doing a job and be willing to come alongside of them and support them in that position. Practical application is learnt by watching and working with someone who is already doing it. So that's where he was making a comment about here was, the best way of learning something is not by reading a textbook, but by actually getting out there and participating in it, making it happen. What? And I would agree with Todd. I kind of struggled with when he said most people want to help, because I've found in life most people don't really want to help when they find it inconvenient. And most of life is inconvenient for everybody. So if you have a woman, and I've seen illustrations of this literally happening before my eyes. One illustration, when I was a young man at home, my father came up to an intersection, and there were cars going all through the intersection, and they kept driving around something, and there was an elderly lady that had fallen down. She had blood all over her body, and everybody passed her by, and she's hollering for help. And my dad stops the car, gets out there, and helps the lady up so she can get out. But there was probably 15 or 20 cars that went through that intersection because it was inconvenient. Okay, I remember when I was in college, I drove my motorcycle from Chattanooga to Ohio. It was a 7-hour trip, and I made it usually one ride. Just hit the throttle and go, okay? I vibrated literally for a week, my whole body. Unless you've ridden on a motorcycle, you don't have any idea what I'm talking about. But literally, you tingled for a couple days after. And this was, I was going home for Thanksgiving. You all know what weather's like around Thanksgiving, right? I didn't have any way of keeping all the air off of me. And I wanted to go home, and my motorcycle was all that I had. So I had I'd gone down to the shop department of this college, and I picked up some scrap sheet metal, and I made this little fairing to go around my legs and to come up so that I could lay down a little bit, and it was going to shed as much of the wind as possible. And everything was fine until I got to about Lexington, Kentucky, and I decided to take a ramp, and I was coming off of the ramp to go in for a meal or get gas. I don't remember what it was, but all I remember is I made that sheet metal a little wider than I thought. And it didn't do anything other than, well, you know what the natural reaction is on a motorcycle? You want to stand it back up. Well, when you're in a curb, you know what happens when you stand a motorcycle up? It goes straight. And what's straight in front of me? But a guardrail. And I hit that guardrail about 40 mile an hour, bam, and I spun around, and here I am laying there, and cars just kept on going by. They were right behind me. I don't know how they didn't run over me. Nobody stopped. I picked up my motorcycle, and I drove home the rest of the way with my handlebars like this because I couldn't straight. I bent my forks. I hit it so hard. I literally drove home the rest of the way just like this. I gave the illustration also of when I realized real estate was the means by which I really felt like God was going to be able to use that in my life to get me to the three things I was wanting to do. I kept asking Alan, I would like to learn real estate. Can you give me a little bit of input? Can you show me how to do this? And his response was always positive, but he never did it. He never got around to it. So I'm not saying don't ask for help, but I am saying that when somebody doesn't give help, though, it doesn't mean that you just quit. So some people are going to be enthusiastic to help, and others are not. But the point is, you do need to be asking for help. Okay, this lady was asking for help even though everybody kept driving by her. And I didn't ask for help when I hit the guardrail. I just looked at myself and thought, how stupid. I could have leaned into the corner and everything would have been fine. I just heard this scraping of the sheet metal as I went around. Ugh, the damage I did to my motorcycle. Busted a speedometer and a tack. Had to take my whole forks apart, press them, get them straightened back out. It was painful. I didn't get hurt, but it was painful. You know, I didn't have a lot of money back then either. It was a painful lesson. Alan was discouraging, but I never stopped asking. So what I did do is I started going to the library and I started reading every book I could read on real estate. Then once I got enough knowledge about terms, I started calling people. I went, and again, these are things I've already said, but this is along the same line. I asked for help. I didn't call them up and say, hey, I need some help. I called up every phone number that was in the book where somebody had a house to rent. Some of the landlords didn't want to take the time to answer any questions. Like, you're wasting my time. I got the house in here to rent and you're not it, so leave me alone. And that was it. Others, they would give me negative feedback. They'd answer, and I would, I'd say, I'm looking at getting into investing in real estate. How do you like it? You know, and did I already tell you some of these stories? Okay, they would say, oh, I hate it. Well, then I would ask why. Next guy would say, I love it. And I would ask why. So I took all those things and I began cataloging. Why does one hate? Why does one love? And so I began forming my own analysis of what real estate was by asking other people to be my mentors. Now, I wasn't sitting with one investor, but I was asking as many investors as possible to give me the information. So ask why. And I've said that over and over again. How many people I know that have made stupid real estate decisions that have been in my house, and they go out and they buy something, and I'm not referring to anybody in the room, but they've gone out and they make a purchase, and then they fall flat on their face because they didn't follow any principles and they didn't ask for help before they made the decision. They just heard an idea, went out and did something, and they failed at it. Okay, so you got to ask for help. I am always there, especially when it comes to real estate. I'm always available, and I have people contacting me constantly. So don't feel bad about asking if it's real estate or if there's anything I can help with. I'm more than willing to do it. Does anybody have any other thoughts?